We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. On Teacher Talk, just a few months ago, I spoke with Mark Rio, president of KidsOhio.org, an online resource center for policymakers, educators, parents, and community groups interested in improving education in Ohio. Now, at that time, we touched upon only a few of the many topics I wanted to discuss. So I asked Mark to return to continue the conversation and to bring us up to date on what has happened since the last time we spoke. So welcome back to Teacher Talk, Mark.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, it's really great to have you here. And I remember at the end of our last program, we looked at each other and said, but we're not finished. We had a lot of topics. We had a lot of topics at that time. But before we get started on these topics, and who knows, maybe we'll finish today or we'll have to have you come back in a couple of months. Mark, how about giving us just a quick overview of KidsOhio.org, a little bit about its history, mission, and its funding?
Sure. KidsOhio.org is a 12-year-old nonpartisan, nonprofit research and policy organization. And we have worked half of our missions here in Columbus and half of it's working with allies around the state. And we have worked, I think, as you know, we've published guides, since we're going to talk about ballot issues
right.
later, we've published nonpartisan guides to the ballot issues in 2002, 2004, 2008. And we actually published one about for last year for the for 2012 for the levy that didn't happen. And so we try to provide accurate information. We work closely with the Columbus Education Association.
Mark, excuse me for interrupting, but that's how I heard about you the very first time was Rhonda Johnson kept saying to me, you know, you need to contact Mark Real because, you know, he's really looking at things in Columbus City Schools and around the state, and it's nonpartisan, which I think is a really important thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we feel very pleased that we're able to work with the teachers' organization so closely.
Right.
And I think we have common goals, which is accurate information and improving the performance of our students. So we really appreciate the partnership.
Well, and we appreciate the work that you do and the reports that you publish on your website because they're very informative. As I keep saying, they're nonpartisan, which I think is very important. And people can look and make their own decisions as to what they think, not only about issues that occur in the Columbus City Schools, but also around the state. Mark, what about funding here? You are very active in everything education in Ohio and especially Columbus, and that always involves money.
Well, in terms of Kids Ohio, we do not accept any public funds. So we do not get any money from the district or the state or the federal government or city government. We are supported by the private sector to be an independent voice.
Okay. And that is so important because that's how you stay nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Mark, the topics I'd like us to address today include the legislation around the implementation of the Columbus Education Commission's recommendations, the CEC's recommendations, the Common Core standards, and well, I have some other ideas too as to what we're going to talk about. Any particular topics you want to try and squeeze in, or do you think our plate is full?
Oh, we should probably touch on some of the things that came out of the legislation, including the proposed school levy and also our new interim superintendent, Dan Good.
That's right. And that's where I'd like to start, actually, mm-hmm. Mark. I'd like to hear your comments about Columbus City Schools interim superintendent, Dr. Dan Good. It's an overwhelming job that he is facing because we're looking at a proposed 9.01 millage combination bond issue and operating levy for the fall. And if it passes, some of the funds are going to be shared with charter schools. But before we get into that whole levy thing, let's talk about Dr. Dan Good, who is originally or just previous to this from Westerville.
Well, I think Columbus was very fortunate to get a first-rate superintendent. Dr. Good was superintendent in Worcester for 4 years and in Westerville for 6 years. And what some people may not realize is Westerville has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
During that 6-year period, their poverty rate among students went from 22 to 32%.
That's a lot.
A third of their students are minorities,
mm-hmm.
yet their state report card grade actually improved from A to A+. And the other thing I might add is they do this for less than $11,000 a year per pupil. So I think the school board deserves to be praised for the fact that they were and the mayor working together. able to recruit somebody local who knows the situation, but also has a proven track record of helping particularly low-income children achieve. And I think, as you've seen, he's definitely, working long hours and working very collegially with the, with the mayor, city council, and the school board, and making some of the changes in terms of reducing costs and improving efficiency.
Well, I know he's, as they say, hit the ground running. What about in terms of his relationships with the teachers in Westerville? Can you say anything or can you speak to that at all?
I've been told very positive things. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure as with any job, they're tough decisions, but I've been told that, it was very collegial and that he got high marks for candor and for his knowledge and engagement. And I do know a number of people who worked with him at the State Department of Education, and mm-hmm. they say the same things, that he is a change agent,
right.
Which I think we all agree Columbus Schools needs at this point. But he is a very fair-minded person, and he puts the facts out there for people so that everybody's got a common understanding of the situation. And I think, this was a smart move, again, on the part of the school board and the mayor to get somebody here for a year, help make some of the changes that need to be made. He was assisted by the fact that there was a report that one of the last acts of the Columbus Education Commission was to commission an independent report of operations and efficiency. And that report found, when you compare Columbus to other school districts, that we are spending significantly more money on non-instructional costs than a number of other districts. So I think you've seen Dr. Good already reducing administrative costs, both in the central office and some of the secretaries, and setting a goal, for example, of reducing administrative costs by $2 million. I think there's a great deal of community support for that. The district has shrunk in enrollment over the last several years, and some of these, you just can't maintain the same level of staffing. But I think the reports we're getting are that this is being done fairly.
Well, that's good to hear, Mark. And I was wondering if you could just comment then on what do you think are going to be the two or three biggest issues that Dr. Good is going to be facing during this next year as interim superintendent. And I'm sure number one is taking a look at that levy that's going to go on the ballot in November.
I think probably number one is also restoring data integrity to the district.
Oh, absolutely.
So that, citizens have, that the staff of the district, starting with that, that all of us have confidence in the enrollment figures and in the academic achievement. I think that restoring confidence is very, very important. The levy is very important, and I think the other issue is academic achievement. I mean, the majority of Columbus schools are now ranked D or F on the state report card, and there has to really be a concerted effort to improve that. The levy was, I think, as you and your listeners know, was conceived of by a 14-member committee, broadly representative, included Rhonda Johnson from the teachers' union, but also included business and community leaders. And that group was able to agree, and the school board ratified a 9.01 mil levy that does a number of things.
Now, it's a combination bond issue and levy, and we need to maybe explain
right. So
that.
Let's start with the bond issue.
Okay, good.
Columbus has 115 schools. They've modernized less than half of those. The state recommends that every building be modernized. And modernized means you got a modern computer lab, you got air conditioning.
That didn't exist when I taught at West High School.
Well, and many
on the
many
third floor.
And some of our viewers will remember that they went to school when there was no air conditioning.
That's right.
But today, large numbers of people have grown up in air conditioning, and I think there's consensus that this improves attentiveness and reduces if you've been in a classroom with some of those noisy fans. And the idea is to have modern science labs, have modern computer labs, have modern security. There are security cameras in the new buildings, both inside and out. And so the proposal is to modernize 10 more buildings. It's to put, for the first time, an emphasis on buildings that are highly rated academically. Keep in mind that the central goal of the commission was to increase the number of children in A and B rated schools.
Right.
And whether they're district schools or public charter schools. So this the thing about the levy is the levy committee and the school board have spelled out specifically where the money is going to go. So some money will go to upgrade technology.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That's because, important.
Right. And teachers want it so they can provide more resources for their students. And also the state's going to initiate online testing. So we need to make sure our students are there. We need to – one of the things the commission and school board wanted was more aggressive recruiting of high-quality teachers and principals. We have a number of people leaving because of retirements.
Right.
Suburban school districts are often signing people up in January and February. Unfortunately, Columbus is much later in the year, and so we miss some of the best candidates. And so that's, I think there's broad consensus about that. There is money in there to improve and continue the operations of the school district. A third of the money is actually dedicated toward that, and that's a traditional levy use. And then you mentioned the fact about public charter schools. So
right.
The facts are this. 24% of Columbus children now attend on any given day, attend a charter school. And the goal of the mayor's commission was all children, all public school children in Columbus. So for the first time, the board has set aside about 11% of the money to go only to A and B rated nonprofit charter schools.
I'm going to interrupt you again, Mark,
yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
But we know that children who attend charter schools or community schools, as they're often referred to, already receive state funds.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? So what we're seeing is they're also going to get the local funds, local funds.
Right.
The A&B schools.
Which is the way the district is funded.
Right, right.
So on average, district students get, on average, which is deceptive, but is about $15,000 a year. On average, charter schools get about half that.
Okay.
So the intention is to encourage A and B rated schools to expand. And the goal, again, is community-wide that every child is in an A or B rated school by 2025. So everything that the district does, including building new buildings, is going to be oriented toward that goal. And I think that you're actually going to have a higher standard for charter schools because in order for them to get money, they have to be A or B rated. Where a district school that gets D or F.
So
I think people who have concerns about that, I think the school board and the commission agree that we have too many low performing charters. This WIS would help the relatively small number of high performing charter schools. But teachers note, there's a lot of back and forth between the district and charter schools, and
sure.
there are complaints by both that kids are not prepared when they come. This is another step to address that. And on a related issue, the mayor and City Hall have stepped forward, and in the bill that was passed by the legislature, they now have the authority to sponsor charter schools. Well, why is that? Because they're unhappy with the quality of the charter schools, and they feel like they can give a good housekeeping seal of approval to good ones. The mayor of Indianapolis has been doing this for several years, and the charter schools that the mayor's office sponsors in Indianapolis are A and B rated schools. So they've really addressed that to some extent, so we can learn, the Columbus community can learn from them. But this is toward the meeting the legitimate complaints that a lot of teachers have put forward about the low quality of charter schools. This is focusing efforts on high performing charter schools with the goal of every child being an A or B rated school.
How does that work in terms of staffing, Mark? I know that in the majority of charter schools, teachers are earning a lot less. Quite often there'll be teachers who have less experience than teachers who are in a public school district. There are maybe fewer requirements in terms of licensure. I have talked with individuals who worked in certain charter schools where individuals taught a course under the name of another teacher who was licensed to teach, but this other individuals were not, and yet they were the teacher on duty.
I certainly hope that anybody who's would report that. I mean, that's, as you and I know, that's a violation of the law.
That's right. It is. I'm concerned about oversight. And just in case anyone thinks I'm just talking about teacher salaries, I'm not. We want, in order to have those locally sponsored charter schools to be A and B plus charter schools, you have to have, as we all know, good quality teachers. And so what kind of oversight are we looking at in concerning these good quality teachers?
First of all, the only charter schools that get any money are ones that partner with the school district.
Right.
Okay. So your concerns are absolutely accurate, particularly for low performing charter schools. We're talking now just about the high performing charter schools. And one of the problems they face is because they get so little money, they have a hard time retaining teachers.
Right.
So this is part of the strategy, is to help them. Now, they typically have a stronger commitment to the better schools typically have a stronger commitment to retaining staff. And I think you've also seen, you know, in some charter schools, you have a blend of people who've been in Teach for America in other districts. And that brings a rich kind of new experience to the mix. But you also see charter schools now hiring people who've served in a district for 10 years.
Right.
So, you know, the teaching core is getting a little older, a little more mature. And again, we're talking only the district would only be supporting schools that are high performing. And many of these are small schools, incidentally. So I think we have to work together. The mayor's office, the school board, organizations like ours need to continue to work to improve the quality of charter schools. It's not charter schools were intended to be sort of a test kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a perennial D or F school,
you fail that test.
Right. We haven't learned a lot. On the other hand, charter schools have been innovators in terms of longer school day, longer school year, some of the teaching techniques that they've used, some of the hands-on learning. And I think those are things that district schools can adopt too.
Right. We can learn from each other. And certainly if those charter schools are going to be in part supported through local funds, we want then the best quality education for all the children of the Columbus City Schools. Well, it'll be interesting, Mark, to see what happens. And certainly we hope that the community will stand behind this levy, this November levy that's going to be coming up. And I'm sure that we'll be having many more programs on Teacher Talk in order to inform the public as to what all is involved.
I think the one thing for people to note is there's an unusual level of unity. The commission is supporting this. The mayor is supporting this. The city council is supporting this. The school board is supporting it. That's an unusual level of unity.
And I think to get the community, the churches, and everybody else involved.
And all
too.
Of these questions are questions that need that deserve to be answered.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Mark, when you were here back in June, early June, we talked about the legislation, House Bill 167, that was going to authorize the mayor to sponsor community schools or charter schools, just what we've been talking about here, and to prescribe the creation of the position of independent auditor for the district. And this whole thing was going to be subject to voter approval in the November 2013 election. So we know since last year on this program that this has passed in the House. This is a done deal. And one of the parts I want to talk about, because we've already discussed the whole idea of this levy, I would like to talk about this idea of the independent auditor of the district. What is the function of this individual? Why is this important?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just back up. This legislation passed the Senate 32-1, which is quite extraordinary in these times.
You better believe
and there was a very bipartisan bill signing with Governor Kasich and Mayor Coleman and legislators from both parties and city council. It was really quite an extraordinary unity about the need to improve our schools. So I think, first of all, we need to thank our elected officials for the fact that they were able to operate in unison, which we don't see so often. What the legislation does is it allows Columbus voters in November to decide if they want to create the Office of Independent Auditor. And the thinking behind it is that the city has an auditor, the county has an auditor, and the state has an auditor. And there's no and these are all independently elected. And there needs to be a similar oversight for the schools, particularly in light of the data issues.
Are we talking about strictly a financial auditor, or are we looking at a data auditor as well?
The auditor would have authority to review any reports that go to the state or federal government. And that would include data reports.
Okay.
And this person will be selected by five elected officials. the mayor, city council president, school board president, the city auditor, and the judge of the probate court, which is the body that decides who's going to be on the school board if there's a tie. Mm-hmm. And those five elected officials who are accountable to the board would select a qualified person, and that person would be an independent office. And the idea is to basically restore public confidence in the data that the district issues.
Now, wouldn't some people say, gee, we're just adding another layer of bureaucracy here? I mean, you just talked about how Superintendent Good is trying to slash non-essential, well, what some people would say are non-essential mm-hmm. jobs and that, and to cut the budget. So how does this work out?
The district currently has an independent auditor, and the idea is to collapse that office into the new office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and this one would be maybe more independent.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. And so the there is a small set aside in the budget in the levy for this office, about $850,000 a year. So everybody acknowledges you have to have up to the date computers. You've got to have qualified staff. And the idea, and I think there's also going to be an emphasis on prevention, less so on we gotcha as systems are set up, to make sure that they're set up so that there's transparency and that we don't have the kinds of grade changes and attendance changes that have caused so many problems in the district.
Well, and I think too that in some cases, although there were deliberate grade changes, deliberate attendance changes, we believe. I think also, too, there were individuals who may have been tangentially involved, I don't know if I said that right, who were uncertain as to whether, can I do this or can I not do this? Is this right or is this wrong? I'm told to do this, so I'm going to do it, but I'm not sure it feels right. And so this whole idea of transparency, right, I think, can really, we can kind of set down, this is what is done, this is how it's done, and you don't do it any other way.
Right. And I think it's important to remind people that no teacher has been accused of anything. These have been issues with administrators, some of whom have come forward on their own, which needs to be noted. But there's no question that we have the district faces a problem with public confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
And so this office is intended to be a strong, independent voice to assure everyone, including district staff, that the numbers that are issued are accurate. And that no one has changed them. And I do want to just say that when you mentioned the commission, Rhonda Johnson was a very active member of this commission.
Right.
There were a couple special meetings that were held just with teachers to listen to teachers, very informative. And Rhonda has said publicly many times that the teachers were a full partner in this process. I just want to note that. And other organizations were full partners too.
Right.
But the teachers union played a very important and constructive role in this. Very unusual to get a 25-0 vote from a commission. Very unusual to get a 32-1 vote in the Ohio Senate. Very unusual to get a 6-1 vote from the school board. A lot of that would not have happened without the support of the teachers union.
That's for sure. And I do thank you, Mark, for pointing out that when we had these problems with data, that none of the teachers were involved. But in fact, many of them felt terrible about the whole thing. And I know that this last year, it was a very rough year for educators, for teachers in the Columbus City Schools, because morale was low. Right. They felt very bad about what had happened, even though they weren't involved. And so I do thank you for bringing that up. Oh, and now I'm going to bring up the fact, Mark, that once again, we have run out of time. When are we ever going to talk about Common Core standards? I don't know. I don't know, Mark, but we are out of time. And once again, you've brought so much to the table. You've told us about what's up and coming with the levy. You've talked to us about the new superintendent. And we've talked about, some of the things that are going to be sponsored by the upcoming levy. I want to thank you so much for bringing that knowledge and that insight to Teacher Talk tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks to you and WCBE for your continued interest. It's important we discuss these issues, and there's going to be a lot of discussion between now and the November 5th election.
Oh, you better believe it, and you'll hear some of it right here on Teacher Talk. Well, thank you again, Mark Riel from KidsOhio.org for appearing on Teacher Talk. This concludes our program. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. A podcast of tonight's program will be available at WCBE.org. This is Sue Miziak wishing you a good night.